Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I think we're on. We are live. Welcome, everybody, to the show tonight. Hopefully, you're doing well. It's going to be Thursday night. We'll be taking communion tonight, so let's get that ready, if you would, and let's get ready to take the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight, leaving him to do a deep work of cleansing and washing in all of our lives. All right, so hope you're ready tonight for that. You're here, and it's going to be a good night tonight, so get ready. I'm going to go with the flow, see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And hope you're all doing well tonight. Praise God, I'm going to be praying for you. Don't forget, we are taking communion tonight. And so hopefully you're ready for that. If not, get ready. The only thing that should stop you from taking communion is if you don't want to get rid of your sin, or you don't want to get rid of your sickness, or you don't want to get rid of your disease. If you don't want to get rid of that, don't take communion. Yeah. But if you want to get free, you want to get cleansed of your sin, washed of your sicknesses and diseases, you're in the right place, that's for sure. All right. So let's see what's going on here. Give me just a minute here. And I hope you guys are doing all right tonight. We're going to be praying for you here. We're praying over offerings tonight and believing God with you for your breakthrough, whatever you need, whether it's finances or whatever. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, friend, believe it or not, he died for everything. He died for your money, your provision, so you won't starve to death. Have a good testimony for Jesus that he's taking care of you. He's providing for you. And he takes that very serious. When we breathe his name and we live for him, then people will see that he takes care of us. And people who are claiming to live for him and aren't really living for him, and everybody knows it, except maybe them, think they're fooling people and they don't get their provision. It doesn't shame the Lord, because the Lord's not really involved in their life that much. And that happens a whole lot. You know, God takes care of the poor and the needy, takes care of everybody. But with the believer, he wants to make sure that we learn to trust him, learn to use our faith, learn to obey him in everything that we do, so that you can reap the rewards that he has for your life. And, so awesome. All right, this is the year of treasures, 2022. We're believing God for treasures to be revealed to all of us. Treasures of the Word of God, treasures of Revelation, the wealth transfer. We are believing God for that. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know how that's going to happen exactly. All I know is that it is. And some of you who listen to me pretty regular, you know, the other couple of weeks ago, I had another sign from the Lord about the market, because it went down about 1,100, 1,200 points before noon. And I know that doesn't happen very often. So I was a little bit nervous. I said, Lord, you know, give me another sign. So by the time the end of the day was over, this is a big sign for what's going on. By the time the end of the day was over, it went from being 1,200 in the hole to 200, almost 200 in the green. That was amazing. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? He says, just let me know that it's not time for the market to go down yet. It's not time for that economy to go down. Yeah. People think that the market has nothing to do with the economy. A lot of economic people teach that. And they have all these really good sayings that they use to convince us of that. But it's not always exactly true. In some ways, it is. But like the example of as far as saying that when the market goes down, the economy is going down. People say, well, that if the market goes down, it doesn't necessarily mean the economy is going down. Well, the times that God has given me words about it, it did. He gave me strict, direct, specific information that the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is the stock market, was going to have a major collapse. And told me that in 2007, 2008. He told me just the date that it was going to happen. And that was the date. That was the only prophet that had that word, the only one, and had the date on it. And, you know, and that's when it happened. So what happened? A word was given about the stock market. But guess what? The whole economy crashed. So is it connected? Yeah, it is. So don't anybody tell you in the economy realm that it has nothing to do with it, because every time I've gotten a word about the stock market crashing, going down, like when Donald Trump was president, and I'm addressing some people today that have several people that have told me different things that they've been told, and they want to know, is it true and all that, and I'm trying to answer those questions. So like when Donald Trump was president, and in February 24th, God gave me another sign, said the stock market was going to have a head-on collision. Well, what happened? The economy went straight down. Yeah, exactly. From February the 24th, for 30 days, went straight down. People were panicking. Coronavirus is going crazy. People were freaking out. But I said, don't worry about it. It's not as bad as it looks. But the economy went right straight down. The economy. And so it affected everything. So if you can tell you that the market has really nothing to do with the economy, man, that's about 2% true. 2%, maybe 5 times, at least the words that I've gotten. And I can tell you a lot more words. So anyway, I'm trying to kind of shift that forward. So, you know, a few weeks ago when he told me that when the market went down 1,200 points before noon, that was highly irregular. And I said, give me a sign. There's something going on with the market. It's fixing to crash. And so that day it went up and went up from 1,200 in the hole in the red all the way up to almost 200 in the green, which is really unusual. Really amazing for one day, and really a half a day. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, that I'm just telling you that the market's not going down now, because there's a lot of fear. I had people call me on PGN, talking on PGN, saying there's a lot of fear. What do you say? There's a lot of fear, a lot of fear, a lot of fear, a lot of fear. I said, well, it's not going down yet, because I got that sign. And sure enough, now the market's going right back up again. See, so don't let people tell you. They'll try to get you to listen to them and not listen to the prophet of God about the economy. I mean, it happens all the time. There's always some voice trying to take the place of the voice of God. And it's always going to happen. It'll always be. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So we got to learn to hear the voice of the prophet and quit listening to and putting economic wizards, economic financial people who know a lot about the economy, but never can really tell us when good or bad, major good or bad is going to happen. They never can. They can kind of, they're always warning you. It's going to go down. 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 It keeps going up for years. Going, it's going to go down. No, it's going to go down now. Oh, it's going to pop. It's going to bust. It's going to bust. You know, and these are people who know the market. These are people who are smart. These are people who read charts, and they're wrong. And it's amazing that people will listen to them before they listen to the word of the Lord. Yeah, it's because we're not used to it, so I understand all that. But we're going to learn to shift over from the word of man, the reasoning of man, the intellect of man, because somebody has a great education. We'll put that person with a great education before we'll put the word of the Lord. Yeah. I mean, I have had people contact me who are market. They live in the market. That's all they do is market. They're living in the market. They're calling me, asking me what's going to go on. Yeah, because they've seen how the Lord uses me in that. Call me up and say, what's going on with the market? What's going on? What's going on? Is it going to go down yet? Is it going to go down yet? They don't even know. And they live in it. They listen to all these people, and nobody's telling them what's really going down. So who do they call? They call the servant of the Lord who gets words from God about it, who knows nothing about it himself, but gets words from God. So we got to learn to depend on the word of the Lord. Yes, do we not listen to people? Yeah, but just make sure you're not eating it as God. Because these people are so smart, and we lift up the wisdom of man higher than we do the word of the Lord. I mean, I've done it. We've all done it. So, yeah, we're not criticizing anybody. We're just saying in general, this is something that God is guiding us and leading us to do. So we got to get a hold of this thing, because let me tell you something, friend. One of the greatest things that's going to kill people in the end times, kill them physically, kill them spiritually, kill them emotionally, kill them financially, is going to be fear. So when you listen to people who are very sincere, highly intellectual, have plenty of experience, whether they're doctors, politicians, financial people in the economics and in the market, they're going to be promoting fear. So we need to make sure that we're not. Yes, I'm not saying don't listen to them. I'm not saying you can listen to anybody you want to. But if you have a habit of going with them first, and you don't even seek the word of the Lord to see if it's saying the same thing, you know, that's why I have people call me up and say, you know, there's a lot of fear going on. Fear's going everywhere. They think the market's about to crash. What do you say? No, not yet. I just got a sign a couple of days ago. What happened? Exactly what God said is exactly what happened. The market did not crash, did not go down, and it's not going down, not yet. And when it does, there's some investments we're going to make for PGN, for the body of Christ. So, you know, I can't figure this stuff out. I'm not going to even act like I can figure it out, because they can't even figure it out. And they make millions telling people that they can't. So it's a big, big realm. And people are going to be having heart attacks because of fear and anxiety, because they're listening to the wrong people. We listen to the wrong people. We listen to too much to the anti-vax people. And then we listen to the people who are totally vaccine. Everything's vaccine. We listen to both sides. And we need to listen to what the Lord is saying. And what is God saying about things? Right? So listening to just because somebody has Dr. So-and-so or Nurse So-and-so, and they've been into this industry for hundreds of years or, you know, whatever, all their life, doesn't mean a hill of beans. Yeah, we can listen to them, but you know what? Every doctor, every economic person, every medical person, they're all going to have their own vent on what they believe. And sometimes if they're selling books, they're going to have their vent towards selling their books. So you have to be careful that you watch what their motives are, because if they're selling books, friend, let me tell you something. If they're selling books, they want to sell you their books. They want to sell you their books, and they're going to not break the pattern of what they've been talking about in their books. Even if they get, you know, more information, they're going to stick with their book information, even if everything changes. You know why? Because they're going to make them money. It's about making money. And so money makes the world go round, sort of. But anyway, so that's what's kind of going on tonight with that. I have some things I wanted to share with you guys. I'm feeling really good. I had a really good day today. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for lifting me up before God, because it's definitely doing a great job for me. God is really, really blessing my body. I don't feel great, but I feel good. And I haven't felt good in a while. You know, just maybe for an hour or so. And then just slump right back down into that stuff, man. Wow, really crazy. So thank you for your prayers. I'm feeling much better. And I don't feel great, but I feel good. And believe me, good is really great compared to not feeling good. All right, so I just let you know exactly what's going on. And so last night we talked about how faith comes, and some of you heard me talk about that last night. I might share a little bit more about that tonight. We'll see what goes on. But, yeah, I want to share a little bit more, kind of a different vent tonight on the prophetic word, how Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18,
how that prophecy keeps you built up. It keeps you strong if you meditate on it, if you consider it as a word from the Lord, you know, not just the Bible only, but a word from God. And when you consider things, because God's given the Spirit, given of gifts, and through those gifts and through the callings of God, especially through the prophet, you know, he gives information, and God speaks through the prophet, right? So what is the word from God? It's not just reading something in the Bible. That's thing right up next to it is the word of the Lord that comes specifically to you. And Paul told Timothy, he said, these words that you have received for you personally, he said, meditate on them, think about them, because they're going to strengthen you for the warfare. We are about to enter into a realm of warfare, people, my friends, that we've never seen before. And so the prophetic is going to be, it's going to keep you from shipwrecking. Because he talks about Hymenaeus and Alexandria, how that they were shipwrecked. You know, they were shipwrecked because, so he's all he's talking about here is telling Timothy about prophecies, the prophecies he received, how they've helped him fight the good fight. So who lost the fight in this particular situation? Hymenaeus and Alexandria. Can't just say, oh, it was something else that got them shipwrecked, like they just got false doctrine. Well, how they got false doctrine or wrong doctrine going on, which they did, was because they didn't listen to the prophecies. The prophetic word will give you faith to believe what God is saying. And you get off believing what God is saying, and you get off into fear, and they started promoting doctrine like, you know, the resurrection had already happened and a bunch of things, you know, which hasn't happened yet, that the resurrection has already happened, and they because they went shipwrecked. Why? It's one verse after the other. 18 talks about how Paul told Timothy to consider the words to do for what reason? To fight a good fight. And then he goes right into Hymenaeus and Alexander, how they didn't fight the good fight. They went shipwrecked. Why? Because they didn't listen to the prophetic words. They didn't meditate on them. That's why Paul told Timothy, meditate on them so you won't go shipwrecked. So pretty soon he's having to talk bad about Hymenaeus and Alexandria because they rejected sound doctrine. So what got them to the point of rejecting sound doctrine? Well, rejecting the word of the Lord. So when you reject the word of the Lord prophetically, then you're going to reject the word of the Lord that comes out of the Bible, right? Because they're the same thing, basically. So except that the prophetic word is the word of God to you personally, right? The written word of God is written to everything about everybody about everything. But when it comes to the prophetic realm, it says, Paul says, to you personally. So we must enter into understanding the importance of the prophetic and chew and eat and meditate on it, even if you don't understand it. Now, I don't think that you always understand every word you get. Sometimes it's about the future. Sometimes it's about where you're at right now. Sometimes it's about where you're going to be in a few months. Sometimes it may be about an investment you're fixing to make. We've seen things like that. We've seen people get warned that they're fixing to lose their job without really saying it. God says you're not going to be under somebody else's salary anymore. You're not going to be under their you know, you're going to give your own resources. And then 2 weeks later, they lost a job. They were laid off from a job that, you know, they've had for years. And you know, so it was just one of those things. And God was warning them. And, you know, so it was the word of the Lord. So had they not had, you know, like Donald and Tanya had not listened to the word of the Lord, they at least considered it like, well, that's cool. So we're going to have our own resources, and we're not going to have to be under somebody else's, you know, salary, you know, say, I don't know how that's going to happen, but hey, there it is. That's what the Lord said. And then 2 weeks later, when it happened to them and Donald lost his resource from the company he was with, the salary no longer under that suddenly he was plunged into a place to where, that word meant a lot more, right? So what happened? Those words that we get in preparation, like that particular one, was given 2 weeks in advance. And so when it happened 2 weeks later, you know, the loss of your job, loss of your finances. Think about that. How that it hit me, it's scary. But you know what? He said he was strong. You know why? I believe it's because of the word of the Lord. kept him from going shipwreck over that, kept him from freaking out too bad over that, kept him from going the wrong direction, making wrong decisions, going, oh, my God, how come God didn't speak to me about this? Well, he did 2 weeks ago, right? So it's like the word of the Lord is going to keep us from going shipwreck, friend. And that's what God wants us to know. And that's what happened. When you read 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, you see how all that's mixed together. You can't separate the prophetic word from how Hymenaeus and Alexander went astray. And then they ended up in a weird doctrine and rejected basic doctrine, sound doctrine, and were in all kinds of crazy stuff. Right. So it's really, really important to know that the battles we're going to be in, let's just use that example of Donald and Tanya. So they didn't realize it, but after they got that word, in about 2 weeks, say the first 2 weeks of January, starting out the brand new year of Treasures, 2022, the year for you, 2022, the treasures for you, you know, and so, you know, receives the word the first couple of days of January, from the word of the Lord, and didn't know it, but it meant that he was fixing to lose his salary and start getting his own salary from his own resources. And suddenly it's like, you know, it plunged him into a whole nother realm. It plunged him into a whole nother place. It's like starting at the year, man, this is awesome. And all of a sudden you get whacked with losing your job. And yet God says, I've already prepared the way for this. I've already made a way for it. So when you realize that, it keeps you from going shipwreck. It keeps you from freaking out. Oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do now? It's like, oh, dear God, I'm going to have to do something else. And so it gives you strength to stay on course. It keeps you straight. It keeps you looking straight forward to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for warning me. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for sharing it with me. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Now I know that that you really are speaking to me, that you really are. So what did that whole thing do? Build them up. Like, my God, God is covering us. God is covering. He sent me a little thing the next week with an offering. He said, you rock it. And I think he meant that the Lord and I, the Lord rockets and I rock it with him or something like that. But we rock, you know, we rock. Because why? Because we were giving him words from the rock. Right, from the rock. It means, you know, like a blast off time, brand new season. So it doesn't always make it easy, but it keeps us from going shipwreck, right? And Hymenaeus and Alexandria went a completely different direction, ended up in some really weird false doctrine, according to Paul. And they rejected sound doctrine, he says, and the testimony of their conscience, and thereby shipwrecked their faith. The Bible says it shipwrecked their faith. Wow. Because their teaching and their example would have been dangerous to the church at Ephesus. Paul handed them over to Satan. Right? Yeah, so we talked about that last night and what that meant. Paul handed over to Satan isn't necessarily, I really believe, I didn't get this revelation myself. I heard it from another man of God. Just a basic teacher. He's not anything, you know, really super duper, just a, you know, and I read his interpretation of that. He was saying it doesn't necessarily mean that he just handed him to the devil and the devil grabbed him and squeezed him. He meant that he kind of excommunicated him from the protection of the church, which makes sense when you read the scripture where it talks about, where Jesus is talking about, if your brother's in sin, go to him and go between you and him and you and him alone. If he doesn't receive you, get somebody else, and he doesn't receive you. So you end up going to the church. And then the church has the authority to, if the person doesn't repent, to excommunicate them. Or even though they're saved, if they don't want to repent of their sin, they put them outside the realm of the protection of the church. Right? That's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that he gave the church the authority to do that. And they would be counted as a heathen. And so this is what Paul was doing. He was counting them as a heathen for a season, hoping that they would get right with God, because he said he did it so that they would learn not to blaspheme. But the other guy, he did it so he would learn not to do sexual sin as a Christian. And really, really important things to learn. All right. Let me see what else I have here tonight. I thought that was very interesting.
I want to talk about it a little bit more tonight. So I did, to reiterate the handing them over to Satan. I've never quite got an understood what that meant. And we'll talk about it more, of course, until we get it straight. Let me see here. I'm going through some of my notes and see what's going on. Y'all, give me just a minute here. I'm going to go in. I got to get my computer. I forgot my computer. Hang on a second. Okay, here we are. We're back. Thank you. And, all right, let's get ready to take communion. If you guys have your communion with you tonight. Ready to do that. Okay. All right, let's go here. Go to the scripture for a minute. 1 Corinthians 11. And let's do our communion here tonight. I'm going to start talking about the book of Revelation a little more. We got Nicole is doing classes on that on Sunday mornings. And so if you want to be a part of that, so I can remind you, you might want to send you a text. I can do that because it's Sunday, really about Texas time, it's Central Standard Time, around noon. So if you need that information, let me know. We'll try to get it to you. All right. All right. One minute. I had to get a communion and thought I had some. And I didn't. All right. Let's get ready to take communion tonight, y'all. And don't forget, we're going to be praying over offerings tonight. And as we do every Thursday. So if you haven't got your offering in, you want to do that, you're welcome to do it. Go to, just text me and I'll send you the link. And make it really easy for you. Okay. All right, I'm going to do a couple of checkups on some things here real quick. While we're getting ready to move forward with communion. Okay. We're going here. Give me just a moment. Okay. All right, y'all, if you're ready for communion, I'm working on a couple of things. I'll be ready here in just a second. Okay. right, we're getting closer here. All right, we'll go to the scripture and let's believe God for miracles tonight, whatever you need a miracle in. And we've been having people testify of healings they've been getting. They're calling to the show. It's really cool. So we just lift up the bread tonight, Jesus, and we thank you. For I receive, Paul the Apostle says, I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you, the body of Christ, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. We give you thanks, Jesus, and we break your body, we break your bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We remember you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to remember him for the way he really was, for what he really did. Hallelujah. And everything he did do, we thank you. Hallelujah. All right. All right. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink his blood, friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you tonight for breaking the power of sin and unrighteousness over your people, those that have been tied to and in bondage to things that they don't even know they're in bondage to. And it influences them and keeps them from moving forward when they need to move forward, like spirits of poverty, spirits of unbelief, shame, being ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of getting saved, but we're ashamed of the blessing, financial blessing. We're ashamed of the fact that I can't ask for a house without getting, I feel like I'm asking, you know, out of greed or in the lust of the flesh. Those are all things in the spirit. When we ask in the spirit, we receive in the spirit. When you ask in the flesh, well, the flesh, it's the flesh. So we learn to ask in the spirit. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. So we seek and we ask and we knock. It's not just about all seeking about Jesus. Jesus, when you read the book of Revelation, it's all about, the book is about him. And it's about everything. It's about how he treated the churches, how he showed John how he was going to deal with the churches, how he was going to deal with the Antichrist, how he was going to deal with, you know, the two witnesses, how he was going to deal with the seas and the ocean and the fish. And when you talk about Jesus, Jesus deals with everything, friend. Hallelujah. Everything. He wants you to know that his salvation paid for everything, and we must not be ashamed of that. So all those that are ashamed of the gospel of prosperity and blessing because it's been misused and abused, we thank you, Jesus, that we wash away that shame tonight, that they will not be ashamed of the gospel in any fashion, any form of what Jesus died for, what he gave his life for, that we will not come short of the glory by going, well, you know, I don't know. That's just for getting born again and getting sins forgiven. You know, I'm going like, dear God, Lord, you shed your blood in the earth so we can have everything in the earth that belongs to us so we can receive it. And we thank you for that, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. As we examine ourselves tonight, we realize that we want to be free from sin. That's why we take communion, because we want to be free from our sin. It doesn't mean that we don't have sin. It doesn't mean that we're not sinning. It just means that we're asking you, God, that this problem that I have, I ask you to help me deliver me from it. I don't like it. I do it, but I'm ashamed of it. I don't want to be ashamed of your gospel. I want to be free and know that you paid for this sin, whatever I'm doing. In the name of Jesus, God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, break it off of my life. In the name of Jesus, and I cast you out, spirit of fear. All the doctrines that have created fear in your life produce fear and confusion. In Jesus' name, I command those devils to get out of your life right now. In the name of Jesus, Satan, bow your knee. You are a liar and you are a thief in Jesus' name. And you will not steal from us by putting fear on us and condemnation, because we're believing God for houses, homes, wives, family. It's part of your covenant. It's part of what you died for. It's what a part of what you paid for, Jesus. And help us not to be ashamed of that. In Jesus' name, wash away the shame, wash away the guilt, wash away the false, accusations that Satan brings. Thank you, Jesus, that you are opening us up to the realm
of complete no shame, right? No shame at all. We don't have shame because we've gotten forgiveness of our sin. If you have sin in your life, you need to have shame in your life. Sin brings shame. Forgiveness of sin brings no shame, right? The shame goes. The shame leaves you. Amen? But the role of shame is what the shame is for, right? And if you feel shamed after you've been forgiven, then there's something going on there. It's condemnation. Hallelujah. Hope you can hear me tonight. Hope you can hear the word of the Lord tonight. All right. We are going to start praying over offerings early tonight, looks like. I didn't preach quite as long tonight. I wanted to kind of re-evaluate the message that I had for you tonight, help you have a lot of questions about that stuff. And people are wondering, and we're going to be talking about, you know, a lot of scriptures that appear to be say one thing and really say another. We're going to try to work on those and try to bring clarity, Christ, on what to rightly divide the word of truth. And you know what? I can't do that on my own. There's no way. There's no way. Only by the Holy Spirit. Only if he helps me. Only if he's the one rightly dividing. Only if he's the one who's given revelation of Jesus. If he's not giving it, I don't got it either. Because believe me, I'm not the Holy Ghost, and I'm sure not Jesus. And without him, we can do nothing. That is for sure. All right, let's see what we got going on. Give me just a moment and I transfer over here. Give me just a moment. All right, let's go here and start praying over offerings tonight and believing God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go here. Do this. Thanks to everybody for praying for me. It's really been great. I'm really doing good. Not doing great, but I'm doing good. And I haven't been doing good for a while. So it feels really good to feel good. And I feel good. Yes, I do. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all your advice. And, yeah, really, really good. You'd be surprised all the different things people do from the Lord shows them. It's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea. Well, we thank you for Andrea tonight. $5. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God, for the new communion you're having with her, Jesus, the new fellowship, the new awareness of how you want to use her, the new awareness of the shepherd's voice inside of her, and the whole shepherd realm, the whole realm about the shepherd, how the shepherd, you know, corrects us, leads us, guides us, protects us, provides for us, makes sure that we get taken care of. Lord, I thank you that how Andrea shepherds people and loves them and cares for them, God, and gives them your care. You can care for people in a lot of different ways. I care for people by making sure they get the word of the Lord. That's one of the ways I care for them. I care for people sometimes financially. Sometimes we care for people by, you know, like sending them flowers to their funeral and sending our love and all that kind of thing. There's so many different ways you show love. And I thank you, Andrea,
for God using you to show love in so many different ways. You have such a beautiful heart to share, you know, the truth with people. You want people to know the truth, and you don't care what it is. You're willing to shed your blood over it if you have to, give your life for it, and God calls you one of his missionaries. Yeah, calls you one of his missionaries. All right, Shalonda. Is that Shalonda? Is that Shalonda? Yeah, Shalonda. All right, Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Shalonda. God bless you, Shalonda. And God's going to, like I see God catching up, like things need to be caught up. Sometimes we run behind on things. Seems like, you know, we get distracted or you know, life just throws a curveball at us. And sometimes makes us feel like that we're, you know, behind on things or whatever. And I see the Lord really comforting you with that and helping you get, you know, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in every kind of way to get corrected and get caught back up where you feel like you can, you know, rest and go, okay, God, we got this. I'm caught up. I feel like I can relax now. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's under control. And because God's not going to let you suffer, you know, getting behind and feeling like you never quite get it. You know, once you get behind, it's like you're always trying to catch up. I don't know about you, but I hate that feeling. I've had it a time or two. And I thank you, Jesus, for that ability to recover that time and the blessings in her life in Jesus' name. All right, Donna, $10 from Florida. Thank you, Jesus, for Donna. God, we just bless Donna tonight. We thank you, Lord, for her life. God, we thank you for the endeavors that you are capturing her in her mind, encapsulating, captivating in her mind, God, to begin to open up to the wave of the Spirit, to the new wave of the Spirit, to the new wave. What's God doing now? What he did, you know, a year ago is one thing. What he's doing a year later, like as of today, can be a whole different thing. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to catch the wave. You're teaching Donna how to catch the wave, how to every wave we catch. You know, once you catch a wave, you kind of catch it, you work with it, do it. But, and then when it comes time for the new wave of what God is doing, where he's adding to something or growing it bigger or changing the way it looks or changing its appearance, then things begin to change. And so I thank you, Lord, that she's going to catch the wave, God, and know how to move on, how to move past it, or how to add that to where she's at now and realize that, okay, God, what you're doing in my life is I don't understand it all, but I know that, you know, you're revealing to me that you're going to, you know, that I'm going to catch the wave, and I'm not going to get behind. I'm not going to miss the wave of what you're doing. Amen. Sally, $18 from UK London. Thank you, Sally. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the precious things with Sally. That precious thing. Sometimes I feel like your heart really cries out for the precious things. That precious feeling, that feeling precious yourself, feeling like you're precious, feeling like Jesus is precious. At you know that whole precious thing of feeling precious, and feeling like, you know, like you want to live in the precious realm, where things are precious to you, where you treasure things, where they're important to you, where you value them, and where things are precious, the things that are important to you, that they're precious to you. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that whole precious realm, the precious, like the scripture talks about the precious blood of Jesus, how precious that is. And when you realize how precious something is, you're able to dive into understanding what all it does. You know, how important it is. What's the value of it? What does it do for your life? And so when you realize something is precious, it opens up revelation about it for your personal life and how that it can, you know, open you up to what God is saying, what God is doing in Jesus' name, where you don't get caught up into the old things and can't get out of the old things, but God is constantly bringing you to the new thing. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because it's precious to you. Precious means a refreshing. Refreshing of the Lord comes from the presence. Refreshing to the Lord comes from the presence of the Lord. And when the presence of God comes, that refreshing, then we feel things are precious to us. Like when I have a visitation from the Lord at some form or another, I just walk around aware of how precious he is and how beautiful he is and how thankful I am that, you know, he's beside me. He's guiding me, even when sometimes I don't feel it. Many times I don't feel it. Many times I don't know, you know, precisely that he's watching over me. And then you look back and you go, oh, my God, you know, look what he's doing. He's watching over me. Amen. All right, Barbara from Texas, $20. Thank you, Barbara. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that the desires you've given her, Father, to see the holiness of God, to watch the glory of God and the presence of God manifest with God's people. She wants to live in that glory realm, that presence realm. We thank you, Jesus, that you increase that and multiply that in her, God, where she will literally feel a new tangible anointing in her life, God, where she will be lifting up people, building up, because when you lift up people, when you build up people, the Bible says when we prophesy to people that we build them up. So when you build them up, what are you doing? You're taking them upward where the glory is, right? When you build them up, you're getting them up into the glory. You're getting them up into the presence. You're getting them up to think differently, to look differently, to have everything they do. They're looking up instead of looking down. And I thank you, Jesus, for that with her and bringing that to reality in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. All right, Barbara, now we've got Latoria. Yes, thank you, Latoria. God, I think for a freshness on Latoria, God, feeling like she's the head and not the tail, and feeling like and knowing that she is a partaker of the – she's the new generation that's going to walk on the other side, going to pass through the Jordan and not get stuck in the wilderness going round and round in circles, but she's going to continually move forward into her homeland, into her homeland business, her homeland – her own money. Because the promised land really is about their own. They got their own property, their own land. When they were in Egypt, they didn't have anything. They were slaves. But when they moved, when the young generation, the 20-year-olds and up, plus Joshua and Caleb was 40 and 80, but when they moved into the promised land, it was about them getting their own land, their own property, their own money, their own everything. God said, I have something for you. I've already paid for it. It's already done. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for bringing Latoria in that place of ownership. Ownership of her own money, ownership of her own business estates and all that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, let it be done. Jesus, for Jeannie, $25. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie, God, that as she, you know, opens up her heart to pleasing you, that there's this great passion within you, Jeannie, to please Jesus, to please the Father. To please, you know, women girls are made to please their daddies. And so that's what's so beautiful about women, is they really have this overwhelming, beautiful desire to please their father. So when that moves into the father realm with God, it's just like, I mean, boys want to please their fathers too, but nothing like a girl. A girl just has a special thing where she wants to please her daddy, make her daddy happy, make him feel like he's honored, that he's that you know, I'm taking care of you and you're taking care of me, and I honor you and you love me and you're taking care of me. And that whole realm of honor and love and the Father's heart inside you, Jeannie, to please the Father, is going to just little by little take over your life. And that's what's going to cause your faith to go excel to high levels, because your faith comes by hearing. And when you start hearing the heartbeat of God, when you start hearing and knowing the presence of God, you know, from pleasing him, from bringing him great pleasure, because faith, it says you can't please God without faith, right? So pleasure, how do you please the Father? By faith. Faith is what? Fellowship with him. So hearing his word and then doing what he says. And we thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of pleasure, of pleasing the Father, of faith, and bringing that increase in her life, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Marie from Virginia. All right, Marie, good to have you tonight. $25. Thank you, Lord, for Marie tonight, God. I just thank you, God, for I see you breaking loose with the old. Maybe just it's just within yourself. Maybe breaking loose from the old things, like, you know, the fears that this will never happen and that'll never happen, and
you know, as we get older, you know, we start thinking, you know, is this ever going to happen? Is that ever going to happen? We start having those things. And it's very real for all of us because you think, I haven't got much longer. You know, I want to live my life. I got things going. So I see part of the process of God cutting loose the old. You know, behold, all things become new. And as God cuts loose the old, as you give your – God renews your mind, and as you give it over to him, and as you begin to let him break ties with the old thinking, sometimes you don't even think it's old, but it is old. And God's going to show you what's old and what's new. And it's a season for new things. It's a season for new thoughts. It's a season for new abilities to come forth inside you, new faith, new understanding. So God is calling you to answer that. Amen. And to cut ties with the old, because the old, even, many times we don't even realize we're still connected to it until we see it as old. We think it's just part of us or part of whatever. And he says, you're going to have to get rid of that emotional connection to that, those emotional connections, because those emotional connections are keeping you from moving fully forward. Communion, God, to break those. Break those fetters, to break those thoughts, emotions, that sometimes we just think this is the way we are, this is the way we think, and God says, no, that's old. I got something new for you. I got some new thoughts. I got some new desires. I got some new strength for you. Amen. So in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. Okay. Tanisha and Terrence give together, so we're going to take her. We'll pray for her. We'll pray for Terrence. Let's go here. All right. Marie, Donald and Tanya, $28. I think it's $28. Yeah, $28. Thank you, Jesus, for that 28. Thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya. We thank you, Lord, for this new season that they're in, God, that you're going to give them peace. And give them guidance and give them leadership, Father. Give them strength to stand strong with what you're telling them to do. Give them strength to stand in faith. Give them strength to not look at the storm around them, but to keep their eyes on Jesus, that they will behold the Lamb of God. I see a new spirit of worship coming on you guys. You know, it may be quiet worship. It may be loud worship. I don't know what kind of worship it is, but I see a spirit of worship. Because when you worship him, that means when I worship the Lord, it's like that's the time you really focus in on him. And so worship isn't just about going to church and having a worship song going on. That's awesome, or having music. But it's the fact that worship is when you're worshiping him. In other words, you are focusing specifically your attention on him and not looking at the storm, not looking at the waves, but looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And God's going to really show you things about the author and the finisher of your faith, guys. Amen. The author and the finisher. Who's the author? Who's the finisher? Like when he gave that word on January the 4th, and 2 weeks later that happened, that's like he said, I'm the author and I'm the finisher. Yeah, I'm taking care of you and I'm watching over you. So really important. All right, Regina, $40 from California. Thank you, Regina, for that. We just bless you tonight, Father. I thank you for increasing and multiplying her, God, in Jesus' name. Like with you, I see the same thing with you going on with Marie. I see God cutting ties with old things. Sometimes, you know, I'd be walking along and God said, that's an old thought. I'm like, what? He said, you know, those thoughts you have about this and that and business situations and, you know, traveling. And I've got a whole different thing for you. I want you to think about a whole different kind of thing. You know, because sometimes we, like with me, you think ministry is about having a lot of meetings and getting out there and getting to know people. And when God began to change me, he said, that's an old thought. Nothing wrong with it, but for me, it was an old thought. So I started doing internet radio, internet television, you know, that kind of thing. And he totally changed the way I did things. And it opened me up to a whole new season. It opened me up to a whole new way of doing ministry. It opened me up to a whole new way of contacting people and connecting people. So now I'm able to contact and be with people, not face-to-face, but more regularly, 4 times a week for 3 to 4 hours. You can't do that in the natural realm. And get out there and go from place to place to place. Well, it's nothing wrong with all this stuff. It's great. But God said, I'm shifting you over. I'm preparing you for something new. And somehow, Regina, I don't even understand what I'm saying, but that's what God's doing with you. It's like he's shifting you into new things. And I'm still doing ministry, but I'm doing ministry in a different way. Like, you're still going to be doing a lot of things you do, but you're going to be doing it somehow
with a different thought process in a different way. And it's going to open you up to a whole new thing where God begins to broaden you and secure you, make you secure. God is really into making you secure. I see God making you really secure, feeling you're secure, knowing you're secure, and that you don't have to have anything, but God will bring it to you because you're not going to make him jealous. The reason God doesn't bring us things, as you know, is because when we make him jealous, he gets jealous, just like a jealous husband or a jealous wife. I'm not talking about ungodly jealousy. You know, I'm not talking about ungodly jealousy of a jealous husband or jealous. I'm talking about just natural jealousy where the world knows they're – the devil knows that he's out to get you separated from your wife or from your husband, lure you away. So that jealousy is to keep that luring from happening. And so I see God really bringing you into that place where he's jealous over you and showing you everything that the enemy would try to lure you away from first-class perfection of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to come short of the glory in any fashion. Amen. All right, Rhonda from Texas. Thank you, Rhonda, for that $50. God bless you, Rhonda. Thank you for that, and we thank you, Jesus, for Rhonda tonight. Father, we thank you for giving her a new heart. I see God giving you a new heart, and, you know, we get a new heart, we get born again, that kind of thing, but I don't know. I see you getting like a brand new kick in your start, you know, a brand new skip in your step or something, something brand new, like brand new energy, brand new thoughts, you know, like, you know, brand new things. Sometimes when the new wine skin and new wine begins to work itself into our life, it brings a whole other way of looking at things. You know, the new wine skin and new wine, it's not just a one-time shot. We get born again and we get new wine skin, but it has to do with, you know, a new thought process that God's bringing to some new things and getting you to look at things in a new way. And not that the old way is bad at all, but to get you to see that we have our tradition. God dealt with a lot of my traditions, and I've talked about them publicly. And I tell you, sometimes it's just like God gets in there, and he just, the anointing destroys yokes, man. I mean, he starts destroying things that I thought I found in my life on, things that I thought were biblical. He said, that's not biblical at all, Randy. That's not me. That's not my word. I went, what? And, boy, it was hard to change because I set a lot of my life around this thing. And I found myself now more settled on the Word of God, more strengthened, more ability to do whatever God called me to do, whatever he needs, the gift he needs, whatever he wants to do, that I'm willing and able to flow in that. And I see God doing that with you where you're able to flow in whatever gift he needs. Amen. If it's to get the healing, get the deliverance, the gift of the Word, prophesying over people, speaking spontaneously into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Sandra, $75. Thank you, Sandra. God bless you, Sandra, in Jesus' name, for that. We just thank you, God, for the multifacetedness of your life. You have such a powerful ability to do multifaceted things. It's good to focus on one thing you can do well, but when God's called you to do multifaceted things, it's what you do. You know, you're all things to all people, whatever somebody, God's going to move you into the realm where when you need to make a money decision, you're going to make powerful money decisions that are going to bring blessings to you. When it comes to making decisions about family situations, you're going to make powerful decisions that are going to change people's the way they think, the way they walk, the way they talk with God, and giving you the ability to quicken people and quicken them and bring them out of the old and into the new. Because most people live in the old. They live in the old, and they keep crying out for the new, but when God brings the new, they're afraid of it. I see God really using you to deliver them, help them understand that you don't have to be afraid of change. You don't have to be afraid of not believing what your family generations have believed for hundreds of years. You don't have to be afraid of that. You can step into something new. And it's very, very difficult to break tradition, especially family tradition. And God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a thing that most family, even with Jesus' family, they didn't understand who he was. His mother thought she knew who he was, and she did in many ways. But she didn't have a clue when he went down on the cross. Not really.
And his brothers mocked him. They couldn't see him. The Bible says a prophet's not welcome in their own family because they don't recognize that prophet part of you is able to thinks differently, reacts differently, does things differently. And people are like, well, how come you're not reacting like we always react? How come you're not doing what we always do? Well, because God's teaching me how he responds, and I'm going to respond and react how he responds and reacts, not how I'm expected to. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay. Angela Lanham, $100. Thank you, Angela, for that $100. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God, for increasing her, God, for joining her together, being joined together at the hip, joined together in at that place of connection, that God connecting you at the hip with a person, and drinking the same water, drinking from the same cup. Drinking from the same cup, and the cup, you know, can be, you know, the same purposes, basically, you know. It has to be always exactly the same, but the same overall purpose. And open you up to the realm of increasing and multiplying, like one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. And that whole realm of what two does, what when two agree is touching something. Amen. Doesn't mean we have to agree on everything about everything all the time, but it's about coming to agreement with the Lord. Amen. And so thank you, Jesus, for that ability to join her at the hip. In other words, that where God, you know, does that, the powerful agreement, and at the belly agreement, or at the connected at the hip agreement, that agreement is a whole different kind of agreement. It's powerful. And the Bible says, whenever you have two or more agree as touching a thing, it shall be done. Amen. So your faith being increased from 1,000 to 10,000, so to speak. Amen. All right. Let's go with Chris from Texas. Thank you, Chris from Texas. We've been talking about Chris. We've been talking. His ears probably burning. We've been talking about him this week. How that when I had the word about oil. I saw black oil one night, and I told him I see black oil, not, you know, golden oil, like anointing oil, but black oil, you know, investment oil, like money in the ground. I mean, oil in the ground. And so, you know, that gave him, you know, kind of a heads up, like, you know, the fact that somebody just that very day recommended, you know, hey, have you ever invested in oil before? You're going like, well, no. And he said, after I got that word, man, it's like, how could I not do that? So, you see, so the thing I like about Chris is that God uses, when he hears, when he connects those things, he does something about it. He does something about it. He does something about it. And so I thank you, Jesus, that Chris does something about it. Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. But I thank you, Lord, for the part of him that does it, that steps out and does it and watches things little by little just come to pass and start working. And pretty soon, you know, he sends me a copy of a check for $7,000. And says that it's his first fruits from his oil. I think it's been a few months. I can't remember exactly how long since he began that investment. It's just been a few months. And so, praise God. It's really awesome. And God really, calling you, like he says, my mothers and brothers will hear the word of God and do it. Like feeling like God's really opening you up to the family realm. Of feeling like part of the family, not just the family, your personal family only, but the family of God, and God using you to connect people to what it's really like to be really a part of the family of God. And that is when you hear his word, you do it, you do it. My mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And so that connection you're going to generate, God generate inside of you by the family membership, by being part of the family of God, that is going to draw people to want to be more of that family than it is even their own family. Being part of our own family is always good. But without being part of the family of God, you know, that's where the protection is. That's where the body of Christ is. That's where, you know, God guides and protects and watches. So as God generates in you this thing of the family of God in you, you literally feel like I'm part of the family. You know, Jesus is my brother. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my God. My Father is God. The Holy Spirit's my guide. I thank you. So I'm part of the family.
and God's really going to use that to generate that desire in other people's lives. That when they hear from God say, do something, they're going to do it. I'll just stand around and gawk and wonder and freak out and all that kind of thing. Part of the family. Wow, that's awesome. I love this stuff, man. It's awesome. All right, Noel, $100. Thank you, Noel. Thank you for the little note. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you too. Thank you so much for what you've done for BGN and how God's used you to, you know, get things going at different times. It's really been awesome. You know, I'm believing God any minute for things to happen there. We're as we're getting ready to enter into, if we entered into this new, when we entered into this new era with the Biden era instead of the Trump era, which we all kind of wanted, but when we enter into the Biden era, that which meant that we're gone, the one world system is going to connect, but also it also means that the one world body of Christ, we're going to connect. We're going to be global with the body of Christ, global with connection, global with not being part of the system. And as we get ready to enter into that thing, we're going to disconnect from the old system and all the monies that people have, that like inheritances, money in the bank, things that they hang on to the system of the world. Eventually, the system of the world is going to burn them. Eventually, the system of the world is going to burn their money. It's going to take their money. It's going to rob their money. But those who enter into this new thing God's doing, this new era for the kingdom of the body of Christ, for the kingdom of God, is at hand. And realize the kingdom of God is at hand means like when John Vatter said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Within a few weeks, within a few months, you know, Jesus, he could show up any minute. We don't know where, but it's going to happen now, not years from now, but in the next few weeks or next few couple of months. Yeah, I don't know if you knew exactly when Jesus was going to show up or not. But that whole thing opened up where our money, our finances, our provision, our wealth will not be connected to the one world system where they can take it away from us anytime they want to, especially the religious community or Christian community where we have to deny Christ. That's why God is going to set it up to where we have our own systems. You know, however that is, we're going to have our own system where we don't have to. When the system says, okay, all you Christians who are still connected to our system, we just now took all your money. If you want your money back, you have to bow down. Well, you know, they may bow down, they may not. They may be running to us going, help me, I just lost my money and I had my money in this bank, and that bank's turned into the system, one world system, and they took all my money from me, making me bow. We said, well, don't bow. We're going to try to help you. But you should have taken your money out of that system realm, you know, when God says come out from among them. So I see God really doing it with you, teaching you, showing you how that, preparing you to, you know, put your money, you know, if God's going to open up banking systems and investment systems and businesses and that kind of thing for this new wave that God is doing where he's going to provide for his people, he's going to provide for Israel. Yeah, we're going to help provide for Israel. Of course we are. We're not going to save Israel, but we're going to help provide for them, you know. Those who bless Israel get blessed, right? So we're going to be blessing Israel. We can do all kinds of things. But at the same time, you know, the thing is, it's coming out of that system. And so everybody have their own banking accounts, their own savings accounts, their own stock markets, their own whatever they got. They're going to have their own. But it's going to be disconnected from the system. And Noel, God's really going to, you know, he's going to be a big part of that. All right. Andrika, $100, $50 for ESW Auto Sales. And, okay, let's go there. Thank you, Andrika, for ESW Auto Sales. God, we just thank you for that whole thing with Andrika also, where you preparing her for how to take her money and her sales and her car dealership and everything you're doing with ESW Auto Sales and all that and bringing it into the new system. Where the one world system can't just cut our money off anytime they want to try to control us, but we are being in a new Christian government, a new you know believers banking system and economic system and all that. Thank you, Jesus, for ESW Auto Sales, that God, that you will prepare Andrika on how to walk in that, live in that, how to prepare for that, and ask the right questions and show how to make sure that whatever bank we're part of, that bank is not part of the one world system. Just like Donald Trump, when Donald Trump came out and he started separating out America from the one world system, that was amazing. But the problem is America was still number one, and America can't be number one in the one world system, get connected. It's got to be number two or number three. So God kind of fired him. Good job, Donald, but, you know, we're not going to – I can't do that right now. We got to get the one world system going on, get things happening. But that's what he was doing. He was disconnecting from, you know, all those things that were of the one world system. So we're going to find the same thing. Texas is going to do it. You know, we're going to have other states are going to do it. We're going to come loose and free from all that and have our own systems that are not part of the one world system where they can't just cut us off anytime they want. So, Lord, show her how to do that with ESW. Maybe she's already set up like that. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe it's already done. I don't know. But we're going to start warning people of these things in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you for Tyreek and Torrey. We thank you for Andrika's seed. God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing them, God, that they will be part of the people, the young people that came out of the wilderness into the promised land, the young people, you know, like 20 years of age and younger. And, you know, most of them were that age. And thank you, Lord, that they will be a part of that they will watch us cross over into a new place. They're going to watch us cross over where the glory of God is with us and says, you know, they're going to watch. They're going to be able to see all that and go, my God, you know. Like when the children of Israel, when their children were little, and they were being, and Israel was, you know, being set apart by God, and you know, totally blasting Egypt, and the kids watched all that stuff. They watched their parents, you know, go, oh my gosh, what is that? Oh my God, it's dark a little bit. It's dark everywhere but here. There's gnats and flies everywhere but here. There's frogs everywhere but here. What is that? And their children were able to see that. Same thing with the children when they went into cross over to the promised land. There was a whole other generation. So I think that Tyreek and Torrey, Father, would be a part of that new generation. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. They will see the new works of God, the new ways of God. Thank you for there was $10 each for them, and then for Andrika, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that for that. Whole thing about how to submit to the will of the Father. Submit you therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen. So we thank you, Jesus, that what submission really means. Submission means when the Lord speaks, we just say, okay. That's about all it is, really. When the Lord speaks, we say, okay. We surrender. We yield. And so I thank you, Lord, for that surrendering, that heart to surrender inside of Andrika, God. She didn't just surrender to people, it's about surrendering to God. Because sometimes when you're surrendered to God, God will tell you surrender yourself to a person. Like my pastor back for 10 years, I was a house prophet. He told me to submit myself to him. Do whatever he tells you to do. And I went, do whatever he tells me to do? Okay. He never asked me to do anything weird. But for 10 years, that's what I did. People thought I was a suck-up. They thought that I was a suck-up prophet. They thought that I was just, you know, because whatever he asked me to do, I didn't jump in, take over. I never did anything. I did whatever he asked me to do. And then sometimes he said, go short. I went sometimes really short, too short. He said, I didn't mean that short. Get back up there. Yes, sir. And I always tried to do my best. That was what I do. God was teaching me submission to him through using a person. And so that's what God does. He'll use people, authority figures or whatever, to teach us how to submit to him. And so that when we resist the devil has to flee. Amen. That's how you capture authority and walk in authority, is you learn God, like you did with me with a pastor for 10 years. He said, do whatever he tells you, do whatever he asks. So he asked me to be there 4 nights a week. I was there 4 nights a week. Yeah. Wednesday, Fridays, Sunday morning and Sunday night. What am I doing now? I'm doing 4 nights a week, right? Same thing, 3 or 4 hours. And I'd be there for 3 or 4 hours. If I traveled, had gas and paid and showed up and ministering, touching people, ministering to people, physically, literally. So what am I doing now? That's what I'm doing. I'm doing a similar thing 4 nights a week, 3 or 4 hours a night, which is what I was doing then, sometimes longer. And just do whatever he asked me to do. And it brought me to a whole nother realm of authority and favor with God, a whole new realm of growth. God began to grow me like I never really expected him to grow. And I see that going on with you. All right, with Chris, thank you, Lord, for that $15 for Chris. God, we thank you, Lord, for Chris, that Chris is, you know, learning how to stand alone, where he can stand alone between God and him, to where when God says do something, even though not everybody will understand, he will stand with you, God, and teach. Sometimes God has to teach us how to stand alone, like with Job, you know, Job's situation. You know, his family was taken out, except for his wife. And his wife was very hurt and wounded by the loss of her children and was in a state of shock. So he was basically alone. And God brought him to that place of being alone so that he could learn how to stand with God alone. Sometimes, you know, Jesus had to do the same thing. Joseph did the same thing, where he had to stand with God all alone. He had no family. He had no friendship. And so sometimes that's how we feel. Not that we have to be away from everybody or get out of people's lives, but it's just that God sets it up to where that's how we feel. Because that's what he wants. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to set us apart unto himself. And then when he does that, then to a whole new phase with the people that we're around. We enter into a whole new phase of fellowship, a new phase of friendship and love and submission to God. That way we're all submitted to God. And when we're all submitted to God, we don't have to worry about each other. I'm submitted. You're submitted. We're all following God. And we all follow God. There's a unity that goes on there that can't be broken. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, so let's go here. All right, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel, $250. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for Daniel's heart and blessing his family, God, with that family blessing. Father, you're going to shower him. I see God showering you. Like, showering you means not just, you know, like it's more than enough. God wants to bring you to the more than enough realm where your faith is able to stand with God on more than enough. That he's gonna increase you in ways that's gonna surprise you. He's gonna double you in ways. You're gonna go, man, I don't know how that happened. I don't know where that came from. And God's gonna bring things out of the blue that's gonna shock you. That you're gonna go, oh my God, what was that? Where'd that come from? It came from the Lord, and it came from a way that because of your obedience to Him, because of your love for Him. He's going to shower you with blessings. Amen. Hang on a second here. Get some water. Everybody, make sure and drink your water. Don't get dehydrated now. All right, Daniel, and I thank you, Jesus, for that family blessing, God, that the inheritance that God is building up in your life. That will be a blessing to your family, to your children, to your loved ones, to those around you, God. And God's going to surround you with faithful, loyal people. Amen. Who will stand with you regardless of what. Amen. Because they stand with you. When you have people around you that stand for Jesus and they can stand all alone for Jesus, you got the best people in the world. When they can stand alone with the Lord and be faithful to God no matter what, those are the kind of people you want around you. Because they'll be faithful to God. Even if you mess up, you're not doing everything perfect, they will still be faithful to God to you. And those kind of people are the kind of people that they're called the friends of God. And I thank you, Lord, for Daniel, for bringing him the Daniel friends, the friends of God. Thank you, Lord, for that right now, in Jesus' name. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $283, and Tanisha, $26. Thank you guys for that. Thank you, Terrence, for that $283. Thank you, Lord, for I see a new light coming in on your eyelids. Where when your eyelids are closed at night, you're still seeing things in the night. Your eyelids, I don't have a clue what this means exactly, but your eyelids have a light in them or something. So when you close your eyes, even when you close your eyes, your eyelids become like a screen, like a TV screen, and plays music, plays sounds, plays, you know, like movies, you know what I mean, like video, pictures. Yeah, and many times you may not be aware that's what's going on, but you're going to wake up, and then you're going to wonder, how come you're getting so much revelation today? How come you're getting so much understanding today? What's going on with you? Because in the nighttime, when your eyelids were closed, it's just like, I've never heard this word before. This is an unusual bit. But your eyelids had a light in them that were like became like when you close them at night, you're not really sleeping. You're really seeing. You're really seeing at night. And there's something about the different times of prayer, the different times of, you know, the, like different hours of prayer. I see, you know, the spirit of intercession inside of you really picking up. Because intercession, many times in prayer, it's not just about praying for people as much as it is getting a hold of what God is saying, connecting with God, deciding to do what thus saith the Lord is, you know, instead of what people are saying, and getting out of the reasoning realm into the reasoning with God realm, where we reason with God, not reason on our own, but we reason with the Lord, reason with, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to see a lot of reasoning going on. People are going to say a lot of things, going to make a lot of sense, but it's not going to be God. I mean, it's going to be one of the biggest deceptions, Terrence, of the end times is going to be that people are going to watch and walk in such intellectual reasoning that's going to be so spiritual that's going to be very deceiving. And the Lord says he's going to protect you from that. He's teaching you how to walk into the reasoning power of the Holy Spirit, where you and God get together and reason. You and God get together and see things and work through things. Because the world is not going to be able to contain what's really going to happen. Not just bad stuff. It's just the way. When new things are happening, most people, if they don't have their heart open to the new, they're going to miss it. Because when God starts speaking new things and new ways, if they're not used to that, they're used to the old ways. They're connected to the old, stuck in the old ways. That's all they can see is the old. And they take the old and try to make it new, and it just doesn't work. It creates fear. It brings everybody to coming up short of the glory, and God doesn't want you coming up short of the glory, my brother. Amen. He wants you to walk in the glory realm, the glory realm. And sometimes the things that go on in your sleep at night, you might pray over yourself when you go to bed at night, saying, "Thank you, Lord, that my eyelids have a light within them." It's like a screen on a TV or whatever, and there's a light. Light means revelation. Light means ability to see, to project, to receive a communication from God. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for Tanisha. Thank you, Lord, for her family tree, God. That I see you know the Word of God talks about that some people that aren't able to bear fruit yet, things that aren't bearing fruit like you know they're supposed to. That the Bible says that like in the parables that Jesus would, or the master would say, that the guy who took care of the tree said, no, master, we don't want to tear this tree down. Let's give it one more year. Let me fertilize it. Let me work on it in a little bit. And if it doesn't bear fruit next year, then we'll tear it down. And so that's what I see you doing, is like fertilizing things, putting an extra shot of, you know, information and love and, fertilizer is a potent, the potency of what makes something grow, brings it out of its dead state into a new state of living. And God's really giving you an anointing for that, for fertilizer. And, you know, fertilizer is what really brings, my dad would not, when my dad didn't fertilize crops, which he always did, but you see, sometimes I would miss a row and wouldn't fertilize that one row. It would grow corn, but it would just be like half baked. The crop, that particular row, would be looking yellow and kind of just never really looked good. But when we fertilized all the rest of it, it turned beautiful green, dark green, produced the biggest heads of corn, produced fruit to its fullness. So I see God teaching you how to spread the love, spread the fertilizer, you know, to get people to reactivate. They're almost dead. They just can't quite get it going on. They don't know what's wrong with them. And we're reactivating them with some fertilizer. Throw a little fertilizer on there. I did that with our pecan tree out front. And the pecan tree grew so fast for a year. The pecans were so huge. I thought, man, this is crazy. And it was mind-boggling. The squirrels, our tree became the greatest tree on the block, or maybe the whole, I don't know, the whole city, I'm not sure. I mean, they fought over our pecans. They were so big and so tasty and so wonderful, all because of a little bit of fertilizer. I mean, you know, I didn't know much about fertilizer until then. It's a huge ministry. Kind of smelly sometimes. but man, does it bring things to life. All right, Nicole, 388-88. Thank you, Nicole, for that. Nicole teaches, now I'm talking about Nicole teaching about the Book of Revelation. We're going to start seeing the Book of Revelation that we need to learn about, that we need to, you know, find ways to understand it. And Nicole's teaching on that right now on Sundays at noon. So, you know, Sunday at noon, we don't normally do shows Sunday at noon, but you can always just the archive. You can't get in there. You can get in and ask questions. Ask any question you want. And she approaches things from a whole different level, a whole different way. It's really, really cool. We had some really great comments from people about how the way she approaches things. And so just jump in there and let God open it. The Book of Revelation is going to be huge in the next few years. It's going to be huge. The Book of Revelation is going to be huge. So, you know, learn all you can about it. If you don't learn from her and then learn from others. Learn from me, learn from other preachers, other teachers, and compare notes. And let's see the Lord change. So I thank the Lord for the grace you've given her to do this work, God, and to open up the door of the Book of Revelation in PGN. You know, really, I think she's the first time somebody's focused just on the Book of Revelation. And so thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for pioneering this thing and opening that up where people can at least open their minds to it. And maybe most people aren't interested in the Book of Revelation that much anyway, because it's kind of scary. It's kind of confusing. It's kind of like there's so many things. And so that's what she's doing. She's showing how to understand it, how to look at it. Really, really cool. So, and we have other people preach and teach through things on the weekends. We've had them do for a long time. But this is a Sunday morning, Sunday at noon class, every Sunday at 12 o'clock Central Standard Time, Texas time. And we'll let you know about that. If you want to be alerted about that, let me know. All right. And so thank you, Lord, for gracing her, giving her that grace to broaden people's minds on how to look at things from the Word of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. It's only 10:45, 10:43, actually, 10:44. All right. So if you need, if you want to give tonight, you can do that to, somebody asked for the link earlier and I forgot to send it to you. Sorry about that. All right, someone asked for that link. Sorry, I was a little late getting it to you. I apologize. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right, give me just a moment here, and I will be right back with you. Okay, got more people here. Okay, there we go. I just saw that. Sorry, I missed that. Angela Joy, $80. Thank you, Angela. If you need that link to give tonight, just let me know. Someone asked for it earlier, and I totally forgot. I apologize. I got you now. All right, Angela Joy, $80. Thank you, Angela, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that double anointing, that double fruit. That double fruit. Okay. Yeah, give me just a minute here. I'll be right back with you. Okay, I'm back. Thank you. Okay. Okay, hang on a minute here. All right. Jesus. All right. Okay, and then... All right, let's pray with Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for that offering, Carmen. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing Carmen, God. And it's a time for you to have revelation from heaven. God is really wanting to bring, revelation from God. And, the spirit of revelation where, he starts speaking to you about things, new things that... new ways to present things. Like we can present the gospel in one sense or present who we are, what we're doing in one way. And then God teaches other ways to do things. Like Jesus taught the same thing, but he taught it in 10 different ways so that people would, get it covered from 10 different ways. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Carmen that spirit of revelation in a new way, Father, where she can, develop that new phase, that new place of the way she shares, how she shares, in which she shares, where people, where more people are able to grasp what she's saying and produce fruit. For the more that people grasp what we're saying, the more fruit that's born, the more rewards we get. Because God doesn't give rewards on effort so much as he does on fruit. And so when fruit comes forth, so when we know that God rewards us according to our fruit, then we learn how to, the best ways to bring that fruit forward. In other words, Jesus brought forth a lot of fruit, because he knew how to talk about things. He knew how to speak about things. He spoke in parables. He spoke in ways that people, could relate to it. So the more we realize that God rewards us with that, then we look for ways to make our communication really clear by the Holy Spirit, where it's not too mysterious, not too whatever, where it's plain and simple and to the point. And yet we know people are not going to get it no matter what, but the level of the measure of fruit that we have increases substantially. And so, Lord, I thank you for the season, this time where you speak to her, God, showing her things, of how to do things, how not to do things, how to multiply things, how to increase things, and bring her that friendship, Lord. I think it's the friendship realm, that she will connect with the friendship realm, Father, where she can have friends that she can talk to and communicate with in Jesus' name and in a very personal way. In Jesus' name, and share her life with God. Open that up for her, Father, in the name of Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Dustia, $5. Thank you, Dustia. I think Dustia is actually from Canada, or I can't remember. Canada, somewhere in there. And thank you, Lord, for Dustia. We just bless him, God. You have such a great heart, Dustia. You have such a heart to want to walk in freedom. You have such a heart to think differently, to be different, to have, the blessing of God. You want the blessing of God in your life. And because you do that, God's going to give it to you. He's going to show you. If you're coming up short on something, you're not doing something exactly perfect, exactly right, he's going to show you how to do it to where God wants to bless you, and he's not going to let you down. He's going to make sure that you know how to get blessed and how the blessing gets passed down to you, where there's no question you are blessed. Amen, because I know you're going to share the blessing when you get it, You're gonna deliver the blessing to whoever God tells you to do to, whenever He tells you to do it, and that's what He loves about you. All right. Greg, $17.77. Thank you, Greg, for that. And we just bless you tonight for Greg. Thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given Greg to freely give and to freely be a blessing. And I thank you, Lord, that as he opens his heart to how to share things, the way that he shares things, and what all that means, the way you share it, the power of sharing, the power of giving. There's so many different ways to give. And when God begins to open you up, Greg, to the different ways that he gives, then you're going to find yourself producing more wealth, the wealth of friends, the wealth of, you know, even finances, with the wealth of finding favor, because the more you learn how to give and all the different ways that God has us give, not just giving our money, but giving our time, giving our love, giving our friendship, you know, give. There's so many different ways to give, and God's showing those different ways to give, so you'll be so blessed when the fruit comes back to you. You will walk in complete victory over even personal things that are messing with you, that try to mess with you and condemn you and tell you, you know, this and that, and whatever the thing would be. I've dealt with that many, many times in my life. And God just had to, you know, show me and speak to me. Because if he didn't set us free, friend, we don't get set free. I mean, you know, it's just it's amazing. And God has called you to be free and walk in freedom, my brother. You are a freedom child in Jesus' name. All right, Jeff and Uke, $111.11. Thank you for that. We just bless you in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for giving Jeff a new confidence in himself, in you, that he can trust you. That many things, like when the Antichrist thing, like when I saw that name written in your mind that day we were together when you were here in Dallas, you and Uke, and so the whole time, you know, you had, you know, done research on him. You may not have known that he was the Antichrist, but his consideration with you. So when I confirmed that to you, you know, you realized that he met all the criteria that I'd given a hint about. You started realizing, hey, you know, God was showing me stuff here. You know, I'm onto something here. So God really building up your confidence in who you are, and how your desires and passions to and your interest in the things of God, that He's drawing you and teaching you and guiding you, even when you don't even know it. Amen. And then all of a sudden you find out, oh my gosh, yeah. He teaches you how to put information together and make it work. And I see a new level of that showing up in your life, putting information together and making it work. Information. It's good, but if information can't be put into action, what good is it? It's worthless. Thank you for you, God. I thank you, Lord, for a new courage inside of her, God, a new ability to be to let the courage of the Lord come inside of her, that she can give Jeff courage, she can give people around her courage, she can build people up and strengthen them in Jesus' name, that people will see her heart and what she means, why she means it, what God is saying to her about, you know, how to give people courage. Because the more people that we help to keep from falling apart, the more people that we give courage to, that like Joshua, that Joshua needed faith. He needed some courage. He needed some strength. And God brought that to him. And the captain of the host of the army of the Lord that gave him that courage and strength got a huge reward from that. So the more people that we save or use to give courage to and keep them from failing, keep them from giving up, the more rewards we get from God, because he needs more people to build people up, to help them see things and look at things and give them grace and mercy and give them time to grow and learn and yet keep them moving forward. The more people we have like that, the more blessed the body of Christ is going to be, the more powerful the body of Christ is going to be. Thank you, Uke, for being that kind of person. All right. Shannon, $10. Thank you, Shannon. Thank the Lord for Shannon. I don't know if you wrote something on there. Let's see. All right. Pray, connect to my wife. Feel like I need a push in the spirit from behind. All right. Yeah, I need those sometimes too. And sometimes you get kind of like, you know, you don't really give up. It's kind of like going, well, you know, I'm kind of waiting around here. What's going on? I want to do this thing, but I can't hardly seem to get up and do it. Yep, I know that. I know that feeling. I've been not feeling well, too, especially. Like, oh, man, I need somebody to push me through this thing. And like, I'm never going to make it out of this thing. So finally, the last few days, I did. You know, something pushed me through it. Something pushed me out of it. Yeah, Shannon says exactly. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And so I thank you for just, I don't know what happened, whether I just finally recovered or my immune system came. I'm not sure what happened. But all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, I started feeling good. You know, and then I went all day feeling good instead of feeling good the first couple of hours and then feeling bad the rest of the day. Or not feeling good the rest of the day. And the next day, you know, so the next day I felt good, and I felt good all day long. And today I felt good and felt good all day long. So something broke. And so I got pushed through, literally. So Lord, I thank you for that in his life, God, to help him push through and to pursue things in the spirit, to pursue things in being a friend and learning, teaching him how to be a friend. It's like it took God years to teach me how to be a friend. I always liked people. I was just always friendly to people, always shake their hand or whatever. Hello, how are you doing? Good to see you. But now I become their friends. That's new for me. That's real. I hate to say it, but it's new for me. And so everybody has a little bit different way of doing that. You know, so may God open that up to you so that people can be drawn to you. Drawn. They see you're somebody that you can hang out with and have fun or just chill out and be themselves. I don't see any more offerings coming in here, so a great week to week this week. Oh, let me check here one more time. All right, I think that's it for tonight. Really great week. But I'm double checking everywhere, making sure I didn't miss anything. All right. Thanks, everybody, for giving. Thanks for praying and believing God with us. We appreciate you. We're going to have a great weekend. I think I'm going to be in, I'm in Dallas area right now, Garland. I'm going to probably be going to my other Texas spot for a week or so. So pray for me as I do that. Mainly because I'm finally healed up. I want to make sure I'm totally strengthened and ready for that because it's a lot. And pray for me about that. I've been able to plant a lot of seed and under the Lord, and I'm expecting great harvest because of it. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much. It's been great tonight. Hallelujah. 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 All right. So let's see what we're doing. All right, nobody else had any prayer requests or anything. That would be it for me. Okay, that came an offering. Oh, Nicole, 1888. Thank you, Nicole. Offering, Nicole from D.C. All right, 1888. Thank you, Lord. Yes, and I thank God that, you know, what I see God doing is using you to break the spirit of fear off people about, you know, mysteries in the book of Revelation, that kind of thing. Breaking the fear off, enjoying it, making it fun, making it serious, making it holy, you know, like if you're happy enough. And so, you know, and breaking the bondage off people that sometimes we have a twisted sister thing. It's just twist things all up. I've had my share of that, that's for sure. And God's had to untwist some things with me. So so I see the Lord really, you know, going down to the root levels with you and in your family DNA and your genes and really doing some breaking loose and some bondage breaking from things that have been passed down from generation to generation. I see some because you're opening yourself up to share your life, to share, you know, the gospel, to share the word. People, what happens with people is God starts doing a deeper work inside of them, and he starts rewarding us with freedom. And I really see the spirit of freedom entering into your life. and causing you to not only, you know you're free in the spirit, but feel free, look free, walk free, like a walk in your step. Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Sending my Thanksgiving offering now, 1758. I think you're so welcome. Weekend, thank you. All right. Anything you want me to particularly pray over for that? Yes, Karen, thank you. I just saw that. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for Karen tonight, Father. And thank you for the fidelity, God, in her life and the beauty of her life, God. Hang on a second. Let me look something up here. Okay, so the quality of being faithful and loyal, thank you, Karen, for that. I heard the word fidelity and God calling you, faithful. That's the Holy Spirit saying that. That was not me saying it because I don't really know you, but I heard the word fidelity, and that's being faithful. That's being loyal, loyal to your country, loyal to your husband, loyal to a person being loyal to your husband or wife or whatever it is. It's being loyal, the loyalty. And Lord, I thank you for that in her life, God, that she's loyal to you. And because of that, Jesus, you're going to bless her, increase her and multiply her, that when you find people who are faithful to you, no matter what, God, you're able to show your faithfulness through them. Amen. That you're a faithful God, that you're a loyal God. You're the God that watches over her. You're the God that protects her. You're God that intervenes on her behalf. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that fidelity. We're heard for Karen tonight. What a beautiful thing. Amen, of being faithful and loyal. Hallelujah. What a beautiful, glorious word. Thank you, Jesus, for that in Jesus' name. Now, who have I not prayed over? I haven't prayed over Lisa. Who else have I not prayed over here? Pray with Lisa, 1758. Thank you, Lisa, for that. Go here and open it up. Special love and there you go. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lisa. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the heart to believe. God's been growing your heart so that you can believe and hope again for things and believe God again for things that you've always wanted to believe Him for. You did believe Him for it, but to see it actually happen. And I thank you, Lord, for the actual reality of things happening. Father, from faith to reality, in Jesus' name, from faith to reality. All right, now pray for your mom's heart. Andre's appeal, thanking God, yes. Okay, so you ended up praising and thanking God for Devontae's deliverance. Amen and faith. I'm believing with you too, girl. Thank God he has somebody praying for him, man. I'm sure my mom prayed for me, but I don't think she, I don't know. I really don't want to question her. My grandma did. I know my grandma prayed for me. And thank God, because she did, I got saved at 20 years old, and I was a mess, man. I mean, I was so messed up. I was doing dope and drugs back in the days when it was a big no-no. Get thrown in prison for having a marijuana cigarette in your hand. You know, I mean, it's just amazing I never got busted because I was crazy. And one day Jesus saved me and everything changed, man. That's what I'm believing God for, Devontae. in Jesus' name. You call it deliverance, call it whatever you want. For your mom's healing, God, in her heart, we just thank you, Lord, for touching her heart. In Jesus' name, we thank you for by a special anointing, God, warming her heart, letting her heart feel warmth and compassion like never before, in the heat of the Holy Spirit, in the compassion of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, the love of God. And for Andre's appeal, God, we just thank you, God, for just blessing him, touching him to your love and freedom in Jesus' name. Let him cry freedom, freedom, freedom in Jesus' name. For Lisa, God, we thank you, Lord, for your for showing her how to stay connected. Yes, he is good. Amen. He's staying connected to that place of, continuing to believe God, but showing us how to continue to believe it. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, the same prayers, basically, and we seem like we're not getting any answers, and all of a sudden the Lord says, shift gears into this, shift gears into that. So we start shifting gears, and then pretty soon we've done what God said, and then God does what he said he's going to do. And so I thank you, Lord, for that breath of fresh air. Breathe it into her nostrils tonight, God. That fresh air of hope, that fresh air of blessing, that fresh air of something's up, God's doing something. All right, Marja, $30. Thank you, Marja. For that $30, Father. I thank you, Lord, for okay. Okay, Marja, thank you, Jesus, for that new place in Marja's heart, God. You're going to satisfy and fulfill and bring satisfaction to her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom in her, that you're teaching her how to enter into freedom and stay free, how to enter into liberty and stay liberated. It's one thing to get set free, you get liberated in something. It's a whole other thing to maintain it and move into deeper levels of it. Okay. All right, Faye, I don't see anything there. It doesn't matter. She'll pray for you, of course. Okay. Yeah, Faye, I checked, and I don't see anything. But let's pray for you. After we pray for, finish praying for Marja, we thank you, Jesus, for Marja, Father, that I see you like when Jesus began to serve and wash the disciples' feet. Like, I see God putting in your heart the power to serve. As Jesus said, he who serves, it becomes the greatest. In other words, you put yourself in a position to be blessed by God and to be rewarded by God. Because when you're a servant, you become the greatest. Greatest means that you're doing what God says. You're giving people what God wants to give them. You're a servant. You're not a boss. You're not trying to run everything. You're letting God run it through you, and you're serving other people. You have a heart to serve, and believe me, everybody wants to be served. And then once they learn to be served, then they learn how to serve. And God using you, Marja, showing you how to serve, the man in your life, how to serve. People, how to serve the body of Christ, how to serve God. And when you do that, you enter into what is called the great realm, the greatest realm. And you find out that that's where God rewards you the most, because you've chosen to be a servant and take care of God's people and serve. And therefore God entered you into the great realm. In other words, the higher level of rewards. Amen. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah. Amen. All right. You're so welcome. All right. So thank you, Marja, for that. And we just thank you that God's maturing you. I see God is maturing you, growing you. Sometimes we mature just a certain level. We could grow anymore. But you continue to strive to grow in Jesus. And so let God stretch you. And he's giving you the ability to stretch, to be stretched, and to let him stretch you and open you up to higher levels of freedom. Yeah, in Jesus' name. So really, really cool. All right. Yeah, the more you get stretched, it opens you up to be able to receive more, to receive, you know, it breaks the old thought processes where we can receive new thought processes. New thought processes always open up new ways to grow and receive from God and receive rewards from him, in Jesus' name. Okay. It'll show up, Faye. Thank you very much for that $23. Thank you. I just thank God for you. Lord, I thank you for renewing her. I thank you for restoring her faith, Father, in levels that where we always believe, but we don't receive. You can believe and not receive things. But I thank you, Lord, that her believing is bringing her to a receiving. Like when we know things, I think that's when we really receive. We go from believing to knowing. And I thank you, Lord, for the whole knowing realm with her, where she starts knowing things ahead of time, knowing things that she shouldn't know, knowing things that are, connecting her to, you know, what not to fear, where to take hope at, where not to take hope at, what to not put your hope in. And the Lord Jesus showing you how to take hope. Like Abraham, hope against hope, and recovering, restoring your hope, and bring it to a place where you can hope against hope. Amen, in Jesus' name. In other words, to bring results. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for her finances. Thank you for the 2022, the year 2022, that the year of treasures for her, Father, in the name of Jesus, and bless her and increase her and multiply her, Father, and let her see the things that she can do to be a blessing. Different ways that she can give and help and do whatever to open up a whole other realm of receiving. Because she's opened up a whole, God, you've opened up in her a whole other realm of giving, how to give, and so many different ways to give. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Faye. I appreciate it.
Awesome. All right, cool, man.
Awesome. Okay. Now I think that's it. I'm not sure. I think that may be it. But, amen, let's believe God to enter into the year of treasures, getting treasures in every kind of way so that we don't never lose any treasure. If we don't have the true treasures, then we lose the treasures that come because of the true treasures. The true treasures is what keeps the natural realm. The spiritual treasures keep the natural treasures in protection mode, and where they can be kept and not stolen, not robbed, nor will they decay or rust or whatever. They won't get old. Amen. Yeah. So let's make this year the year of where we enter into the full treasure realm. Amen. Of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I think I prayed over everybody. If I didn't pray over you, please let me know. I got everyone.
All right, y'all. I guess that's it for me tonight. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Appreciate it. It's 11:20. And I guess we'll end it tonight. God bless. We love you. Thank you.